Thank you very much, Shannon and Katie. Beautiful to see a husband and wife singing together. Amen. Praise the Lord for it. I want you to find your place in the book of Genesis chapter 26. While you're finding your place, let me remind you of a couple of things. There's a special snack tonight for all teenagers and parents downstairs. So if you're a teenager and a parent of a teenager, this snack is for you downstairs. And then I want you to be much in prayer for our Bible clubs in our public school systems. You know, this is a door that's been opened, and we want to keep going through it as long as it's open. And we've got four of them, one in Indian Trail, one in Daniel Boone, one in Gray School, and one in Ridgeview. And I want you to pray for these Bible clubs. Brother Bob Mann's doing a tremendous job with them, and I appreciate his burden for it. As a matter of fact, I believe he's going tomorrow to Boone to set up a booth for all this freshman orientation. And pray for these Bible clubs in these public schools. And it reminds you again that the reason this church exists is to perfect you for the work of the ministry. And be much in prayer this week that God will lay somebody on your heart as you get encouraged to do the will of God. Somebody outside these walls needs to be encouraged to do the will of God. And I encourage you to be much about the work of the ministry this week. And be much in prayer about these Bible clubs. And if you have any questions about it, you can see Brother Bob, and that'll be good. I would love to see us get into every public school in the area. Wouldn't that be great if we did that? But one person cannot do that, folks. So I encourage you, be much in prayer about it. If the Lord speaks to you about it, you come see us. Obviously, there's guidelines and all these kind of things, but it'd be great for us to start branching out and getting more schools and more schools and more schools. We never know when that door may close, and we need to keep going in it while it's open. So be much in prayer about it. Genesis chapter 26, beginning with verse number 17. Genesis chapter 26, beginning with verse number 17. I've come back to my series on Bible Valleys. Remember, I keep in mind, and I keep you in mind, that typically I have three series going on. I have an Old Testament book. We began that this morning in the book of Ruth. I have a New Testament book going on. We've already begun that in the book of Matthew. And I have a topical series going on. We just finished Bible Mountains. Now we've gone to Bible Valleys. And this is our second valley. The first one was the Valley of Sorek, where Samson met Delilah. But we come to another valley tonight in verse number 17 following. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, "The water is ours." And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. They digged again, and they digged another well and strove for that also, and he called the name of it Sitna. And he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not, and he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, "For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." Again, Bible Valley. So I've already given you the title. Here it is in verse number 17. It's the title, The Valley of Gerar. The Valley of Gerar. Let's pray together and we share our thoughts about this valley. Father, we love you tonight and thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the power of the Word of God. Thank you that it's by the foolishness of preaching that you've chosen to save those that believe. And I pray that you help us at this church to be a church centered around the Word of God, teaching it, preaching it faithfully. And may the will of God be done in this service. May you bind Satan his evil spirits. Help me to preach, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in our study on the valleys of the Bible, I felt led to go to this portion of Scripture that concerns the Valley of Gerar found in Genesis chapter 26. Now, before I get into the major thoughts concerning this valley, it's important that we see the immediate context. In other words, what's taking place before he gets to the valley. Now, in verses 1 through 5 of this chapter, we see the Lord confirming the Abrahamic covenant with Isaac by telling him not to go down to Egypt, but dwell where he tells him. The Lord proceeds in verses 1 to 5 to tell Isaac that he will be with him and bless him and give him all those countries and to his seed to give those countries and perform the oath that he made with his father Abraham. Then in verses 6 through 11, we see Isaac telling the men in Gerar that his wife was his sister. Sound familiar? If we remember, Abraham, his father, did the same thing earlier in this book, and now his son is following in his footsteps. Now, folks, this is introductory here, but let me just give you this side thought. We see Abraham told a half lie, but his boy told a complete one here. Now, remember that if a parent goes a little off, that the child will more than likely go much further. However, Abimelech saw Isaac sporting with his wife and figured out that they were married. And Abimelech charged all of his people not to touch either Isaac or his wife, Rebekah. That's found in verses 6 down through verse 11. Then the word of God tells us in verses 13 through 16 that Isaac received that year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. Isaac became great, went forward, and grew until he was a great man. And as a result of the Lord's blessings upon him, the Bible tells us that the Philistines envied him in the latter part of verse number 14. As a result of the Philistines' envy, we see the Philistines filled the wells up with dirt that his daddy Abraham had dug. Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, tells Isaac to leave. And when the king of the Philistines tells Isaac to leave, he went and he pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar. Now I want to draw our attention to that. So understand that he's been in the land, he stayed out of Egypt, God is blessing him, and he's blessing him so much that the Philistines are envious of him, and the king sees kind of the danger here, so he tells Isaac, it's best for you and us if you just get out of town. So without putting up any kind of a fight, he packs up and he moves, but he goes to the valley of Gerar. Now while he's there, there are three things we see about Isaac. And I want to center your attention as we think of the valley of Gerar. I want to center your attention. I want to give you a key thought tonight on a man by the name of Isaac. I want to bring out three things about this man that we see in this valley. And I trust that these three thoughts will grasp our heart. And I pray the Lord will help us all to understand. Number one, as we move into the valley of Gerar with Isaac, we see first of all in verse number 18, we see Isaac's past. We see this in verse number 18, notice it. It says, and Isaac digged again the wells of water, get this, which they had, his past, which they had digged in the days of Abraham, his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names of which his father had called them. Now it's important to note that wells were essential to the well-being of people back in this day for prosperity. Obviously, one needed water back in this day for a number of things, and they were digging wells to find water. Well, the reason they needed water were for things such as watering their flocks. So you understand, if they didn't dig wells and find water, their flocks would not multiply. They had to have water, and the wells were essential to this. Abraham, now get this, I'm so excited about what I'm about to bring out right here, so I can't hardly stand it. I'm telling you that Abraham had already dug some of these wells in his day. Isaac's daddy had already gone before and done the work to find the water. He had dug the wells. Now get this. No doubt that these wells that Abraham, Isaac's past, his parent, his heritage, his past, here it is. No doubt that the wells that Abraham dug had water in them. No doubt about it. Now get this, however the Philistines, due to their envy, they had taken dirt and filled these wells that his daddy dug back up. Now while he's in the valley of Gerar, we see Isaac doing something that we can all learn from. You know what he's doing? He's going back to his past. Now stay with me here. I'm telling you that when he could have dug any other well he chose to visit his daddy's wells first. And there's three things I want to show you under this first point about Isaac's past concerning his daddy's wells. Number one, under this, he returned to his daddy's wells. See, he didn't have to go to these wells, folks. He could have went on to some other place. He could have forgotten all about his father's wells. However, for some reason, Isaac did not overlook these wells that his father dug, but took the time to return to them in order to open them up again. He knew it would be worth his work to re-dig these wells his daddy had spent digging years before. He didn't overlook the work of his father. He didn't overlook the work of his daddy who had put it in before these current days. And in the same way, now I remind you, anytime I say in the same way, I'm applying scripture here. I'm applying it to our life. What can we learn here? In the same way, let us never overlook our forefathers who have dug the wells of water in their days. Let us be mindful of those who've gone before us and dug wells for us to get water from today. I'm talking about those who have gone before and paid the price to give us something to draw from today. Some of these could be our godly parents. Some of these could be our godly grandparents or godly teachers or godly preachers who stand and who have stood and faithfully proclaimed the Word of God. Let us to learn here to return to the wells dug by those who have gone before. I'm telling you that Abraham put sweat into those wells. He dug and dug and dug until he found water in those wells. And even though the worldlings tried to come and fill it back up, his boy got up and said, I'll tell you the first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to go visit my daddy's wells. I'm going to make sure the water he found is still running today. I'm going to tell you something. That is our heritage. That is those who have paid the price before us and they found living water and it was flowing and flowing and flowing. I'm telling you, take time to visit your past. I'm telling you something here, folks. I know he's in the service tonight, and I didn't have this in my notes, and I get in trouble when I do this, when I get away from my notes, but I know this right here is where the Lord would have me shake a bush here just a minute. We have a well that's opened up at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and there are people drawing water out of it even today. There are 82 little boys and girls last week who took a drink of water out of it. And I'm going to tell you something. There's one man sitting here, and I know I'm not here to lift up man. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm lifting up the Lord through him. But I'm talking about something in my life that God's speaking to me about here, that he returned to his daddy's wells. I'm talking about my Moses. I'm talking about Preacher Lashley, who stood faithfully here for 46 plus years. And he had things and trials and tribulations, but he kept digging, and he kept digging, and he kept digging, and he kept digging. And we're drawing some of that water tonight. Don't ever forget your forefathers. Don't ever forget your past. And if you're here tonight and you're born again, child of God, faithful to church, I guarantee somebody paid the price for you. And I'm saying the first thing he did is we see his past. And the first thing he did in his past, he returned to his daddy's wells. The Bible says in Jeremiah 6:16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. I'm telling you, number one, he returned to his daddy's wells. Number two, he recognized his daddy's wells. Now, what's this mean? The point I'm trying to make here is the reason Isaac took the time to dig his daddy's wells, you listening to me? He knew something about those wells. You know what he knew? He recognized something about those wells. You know what he recognized? There's water in them wells. What was he looking for? He was looking for water. And instead of taking his chances over there, he knew that his daddy had already found water in the wells he dug. So why go to something new? Anybody know where I'm going with this? I'm saying to you here that the wells his daddy dug, Isaac recognized that there was water in them wells. That may not be good English, but it's pretty good thinking here. Now, all I'm saying to you is here, the whole reason to dig a well was not to make a hole, but to find water. And his father had dug these wells and found water. Therefore, Isaac knew and recognized that the wells his daddy dug had the water he was looking for, and he knew he could find water in them wells. He knew he could find what he was looking for in the wells his daddy dug. And in the same way, there have been those who've paid the price. They have dug wells and they found water. Somebody say glory right there. I'm telling you. They found what they were looking for. They found the water that everybody's searching for in those wells. And I'm telling you, they found what satisfied their longing.
And I'm speaking of those who dug the well, such as the precious scriptures that we hold in our hands. The well of salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. The well of a separated, godly, Christian, holy life. I'm talking about what the world's looking for. Some of our forefathers have already found where it's located. They've dug in those wells. They know it works there. They know right there's what you're searching for. And I'm telling you that the second thing he did in his past, he recognizes daddy's wells. I'm telling you, do you recognize the wells that have water? Hey, these new movements, all these new things coming on the scene, whether it be music or versions or other things, can I say something to you? If it's new, it's not true. Amen. And I'm telling you that the truth has been settled. And if somebody comes along and says, I found a better way to do it, hogwash. You cannot find a better way than Jesus Christ wrote down in his precious word. This is the well right here. This is where the water's found. We know where it's at tonight. And all we've got to do is recognize it. Give your life to the wells where water's found. So many people waste so much time digging for water, digging for it, digging and digging and digging. They ought to figure out when they go a mile down, there's not water there. When over here somebody says, I found water. I've got it right over here. It is. But you know what the society does today? Sure, I think, yes, oh, I don't really believe that's water over there. I think I'll try over here for myself. You understand what I'm saying, I hope, don't you? We're looking at Isaac's past. Hey, he returned to it. He recognized it. Number three, he respected it. We see this in verse number 18, the latter part. Notice what it says. And he called their names, the names of the wells. He called their names after the names by which his father had called them. That's a beautiful, beautiful statement. Notice in this verse, he not only dug his daddy's wells, but he also gave him the same name that his daddy gave him. You know, when Isaac took the time to dig these wells, again, he could have put a new name on those wells, but he didn't. He didn't pray about it. He didn't have to. What are we going to name this well? You know what he did? He said, what did my daddy name it? That's what I'm going to name it. That's respect. You know what's missing today? Respect for authority. It's all over. The attitude, nobody's going to tell me what to do. And there are people today, listen to me, there are people today who are living on the blessings of their parents, but they never recognize, respect, and return to their past. Not Isaac. The Valley of Gerar shows us, number one, Isaac's past. He returned to it. We need to do it every now and then too, don't we? He, listen to me now, he not only returned to it, he recognized it. He knew it was worth his time to dig in those wells because he knew his daddy found water there. And he knew if his daddy did, he would too. Number three, he respected it and that he named him the same thing his daddy did. Then there's a second thing I want to show you about the Valley of Gerar. All this centers around Isaac. Number one, his past. Number two, let's notice his progression. In verses 19 to 22, if you'll notice with me, that Isaac's servants digged in the valley and they found the well of springing water. And then it says, and the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water's ours. And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. They digged another well and strove for that also, and they called the name of it Sitna. And he removed from thence and digged another well. Here's the point I'm trying to say. Did he stop just with his daddy's wells? Did he, yes or no? It's not a trick question. No. He started there. You see what I'm saying? He started with his past, and he figured out how to do it there. But then he recognized this. God also has wells for me to dig. Anybody understand where I'm going with this? Here's what I'm saying to you. We see Isaac's servants digging beyond the wells of his father Abraham. In other words, we see when Isaac was finished reopening the wells his daddy dug, he did not rest content in the work of his father, but he progressed by digging more wells. Now, there's no doubt that he could have stopped after he dug his daddy's wells again. But he did not. He kept on digging. Somebody said in my study, I can't remember who it was, but they said in my study that when you think of Isaac, he's always digging wells. Think about it. When you think of Isaac, he's always digging a well. Just general terms. The point is, he did dig the old wells, but he also advanced to new ones. Now, what I'm saying here is this. In the same way tonight, folks, we do need to take time to return to the past wells. We do need to recognize that water's in them wells, and we do need to respect those who've paid the price in the past. However, we need to understand that the Christian life is a life of progression. What I mean by that is even as those in the past had their wells to dig, the Lord of glory has more wells for us to dig. There's more to do is what I'm trying to say. The point I'm trying to make is there's still a great work to be done. There's more territory to claim for the glory of God. There are more wells yet to be dug that will give those in the future something to return to. You understand what I'm saying? See, if Isaac didn't progress, then his children would have to visit their granddaddies. But because he dug his own, now they could return to their daddy's wells. I hope I'm not confusing you. I'm not talking about changing the wells. That's the past. It's settled. In other words, where the wells have water, I'm just applying this message. This is not a direct interpretation message. This is an application message. I'm applying the wells, physical wells, to wells of the work of God. And I'm telling you that just like Abraham had wells to dig, so did Isaac. And Isaac first went back to his daddy's wells and figured out, yes, and recognized there's water in them wells. Boy, that's good right there. I can take a drink out of that. But God wants me to dig one over here. I'm telling you that we need to understand that God wants us to keep going. He wants us to keep progressing and keep advancing and get more territory and more and more and more. Here's what I'm saying. Is there a world yet to be evangelized? Are there people in our city who still have not heard the gospel in clear terminology? Are there children in our area who have a mom and dad who are not saved and they'll never hear the gospel unless our buses come by and pick them up? This is what I'm talking about under this point. There's still more to do. We don't need to rest content in what's happened up to this point. Rejoice in it. Recognize it. Return to it. Thank God for it. But don't stay there. Go forward for the glory of God. This is what I'm talking about. We see his progression. He progressed. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. The Apostle Paul said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Luke 9:62, "And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." The Bible says in Hebrews 6:1, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection." Go on, go on, go on. Number one, the Valley of Gerar, we see Isaac's past. Number two, we see Isaac's progression. But number three, I want you to see this. We see Isaac's perseverance. We see his endurance, his perseverance. In verses 19 to 22, notice the language here. I'm not going to read it again. I'm just going to paraphrase it. His servants dig this well. They find water. And the herdman of Gerar had nothing to do with digging it. Came and said, "That's our water." What did Isaac do? Did he lean back on his back heels and say, "Okay, come get you a piece of it"? Is that what he did? No. You know what he did? Look at me, please. He turned the other cheek. And he went to dig another well. When he dug that well, same herdman came. "That's ours." What'd he do? "Okay, I've had enough this time. Come on." No, what'd he do?
he turned the other cheek again. And he went to a place, and when he dug that well, they didn't come this time. And he named it Rehoboth. You know what that word means? There is room. In other words, he kept going and kept going and kept going and kept going until he finally found rest. He persevered. What I mean, if I haven't already explained it the way I should have, is that as soon as he started digging wells, opposition came. Remember the book of Nehemiah? As soon as they began to work, opposition came. And I'm telling you, as soon as you start digging a well where water is, opposition will rear its ugly head. It's going to happen. Am I right, preacher, or not? I'm telling you, when you start digging where God wants you to dig, and you start digging a well that's going to find water, and you can call other people to come drink from it, there's going to be opposition. And when that opposition arose, there's no doubt, I can't prove this, but you can't disprove it. There's no doubt that Isaac could have said, I quit. It's not worth it. Here I am putting all this work in, this sweat, all these man hours, and these men are coming and taking it over. I quit. I throw it in. It's not worth it. But he didn't quit. He kept going, and he kept going, and he kept going until he finally found a place where he said, there's room here. If you read on in the chapter, I'm not going to go there for time's sake, but if you read on in the chapter, he goes to another place. And in that place, God appeared to him. And he dug another well after this one. And you know what he called it? Beersheba. And I'm telling you, don't ever quit digging wells. If it hurts, keep digging. If they ridicule you, keep digging. Somebody comes and takes something that's rightfully yours, keep digging. Turn the cheek, keep going, and before long, you're going to dig a well, and the peace is going to come, and you're going to say, finally made it to Rehoboth. I'm simply saying to you that it was not easy on Isaac. They fought him. It was his well, they dug it, but they took it over, the enemy. And instead of staying there and wasting time, he just went right down the road and dug another one. They came and took that one over. He just went right down the road and dug another one. He realized if there's water there, there must be water over here. So instead of giving it up and throwing in the towel, saying, I quit, it's not worth it, it's too bad, it hurts me too much, instead of doing that, he persevered. He kept going. He kept going. He kept on going. Folks, in the same way, we need to be busy digging wells for the glory of God. And as we do, there will be opposition to arise. We need to ask our Lord to give us wisdom to know when to walk away. Now, folks, there are some times you don't need to walk away, but these were times when Isaac realized, I need to walk away. Only God can give you that wisdom. But the point I see in this is not him walking away. The point I see in this is he didn't stop digging wells. He kept digging them. And I see his perseverance come shining through. When we walk away, we are to persevere for the glory of God. We should never allow opposition to keep us from being faithful to the Lord's vineyard. Times do get tough. Amen or not, times do get rough. Opposition is not fun. However, there is a great work to be done for the glory of God. And let's not get caught on the sidelines. But let's get our pick and our shovel and our hoe and anything else that we can dig a hole with. And let's put it in our hands and keep digging until God calls us home. Stay with it. There's kind of a theme that's run through this day, and I didn't plan it. I did not plan it, but I believe God did.
This morning, the key thought was stay put no matter what happens. And I'm ending with this thought: keep digging, even if the opposition arises. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is no temptation taking you but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who not suffered you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:5, but watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. You know what comes before doing the work of an evangelist? Endure afflictions. Understand there will be hard times. Don't you quit. You stay with it. 2 Timothy 2:3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Let us determine that we are going to be faithful in whatever the Lord has given us to do. We're going to be digging in them wells until Jesus comes, and we're going to stay faithful with it no matter what happens. 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Listen, one thing you can be is you can be faithful. You may not can preach or teach or drive a bus or whatever the case may be, but one thing every person can be is faithful. And that's all God asks. Be faithful. And that's what I'm preaching here under this point. The Valley of Gerar, what do we learn? Well, we have one man come to the forefront. His name is Isaac. Three things about him in that valley. His past, he returned to it. Hey, he respected it. He recognized water was in them wells. His progression, he didn't stop with his daddy's wells. He realized that he had other wells for him to dig. He had a work to do. And then he persevered that when opposition came and it got hard and it got hard and it got hard and it got hard, instead of quitting and putting his tools down and throwing in a towel. And by the way, if you've never been there, just hang on. You ever been tempted to say this? It's not worth it? Just throw it in. Wait a minute. What do we learn from Isaac? We learn that opposition will come when you do something. But instead of sitting on the sidelines, he just went right down the road and dug another one. And he went right down the road and dug another one. Went right down the road and dug another one. And then finally, at the end of the chapter, God showed up. And God said, I will be with you. I'm telling you, you keep digging, it will be worth it. Don't give up. Stay where God has you. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Shall we? Father, we love you today and thank you for your goodness. I pray that you'll help us tonight to heed these lessons. The Valley of Gerar, Isaac comes to the forefront. And we see his past and how he visited it, and he recognized that water was there, and he respected his daddy and what he had done. We see his progression, how he kept going, and he realized that even though his daddy had dug wells, that there was more wells that could be dug. And then he persevered by enduring afflictions. Father, teach us these same lessons. May the will of God be done. Guide me as I guide this invitation. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. Have you ever drunk of the water from the living well? Remember what Jesus said when he said on Jacob's well? He said, the water that I shall give him, it's a well of living water. And whosoever drinketh of it shall never thirst. Have you ever drunk of the living water? I'm asking, are you a born-again child of God? Have you trusted Christ and Christ alone? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? If you haven't, come tonight. We'll take a Bible and help you know how you can know Him. Or maybe tonight God is speaking to you because maybe it's been a while since you visited your past. Maybe some of you dear folks need to come to the altar just to thank God for your daddy or your mama. They may not even be here now. they might be in glory. You might be 70, 80, 60, 50, 40 years old. You might be a teenager. I don't know what you are. But maybe God's speaking to you about your past. Your Abraham who dug wells and found water in them. Maybe you just need to come tonight and say, God, thank you for reminding me of my Abraham. Thank you for reminding me of my mom, my dad, my Sunday school teacher, my preacher who's faithfully preached the Word of God, Preacher Lashley or somebody else. Maybe you want to come and visit those wells. Maybe you want to return to your past tonight. Matter of fact, how many of y'all are thinking of somebody right now who was your Abraham? You understand what I'm talking about. How many of you know who your Abraham is? Would you raise your hand? You know your Abraham. Maybe some of you want to come. Maybe all of you, I don't know, would want to come to this altar and just say, God, thank you for my past. But maybe some of you need to come and say, you know, I do have a great past, but God has shown me that there's wells that He wants me to dig. It could be the well of the bus route, or it could be the well of Sunday school teaching, or it could be the well of door knocking, or it could be the well of a better prayer life, or a better devotional life, reading your Bible, or whatever the case may be, or church attendance. I don't know what it is. But you say, Jody, God's speaking to me about progressing. I need to go forward. Or maybe tonight you're going through afflictions. Maybe you're going through a famine like I preached this morning. Maybe there's opposition that has arisen in your life. Maybe God's speaking to you about, you know, I'm going to come back someday. When I come back, please have the tools in your hands. Don't drop the shovel. Don't drop the pick. I know it's tempting. I know it's hard. I know you're tempted to do that, but please just persevere. Stay with it. Endure afflictions. Endure afflictions. Endure hardness. God never said it wouldn't be hard. He never said there wouldn't be opposition. Matter of fact, He said it's just the opposite. But He challenges His children to keep on digging, keep digging, keep digging, keep digging, keep digging. You keep digging, you'll find water. You'll find what your heart's searching for. I don't know how God's dealing with you, but why don't we do business with the Lord? Let's do business with Him. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take it, use it. Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If God is speaking to you, would you leave your place? Would you come? Your past. You just want to come and say thank you. Or maybe perseverance. Staying with it. Keep digging. Keep bowing. Or maybe it's progressing and doing something for God. As Brother Gary sings, some have already come. Many have already come. I'd like to see men coming to the altar. As Brother Gary sings, you leave your place and come. Would you do it as he sings? Come on.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
Sing on, Brother Gary.
Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I would follow. No turning back, no turning back.
They're playing through softly. There's still time for you. Still time for you. We've got some teenage young men here at the altar. If you're a father or a mother of one of these young men, I'd like to encourage you to come and pray with them. Would you do that? If you see them up here, I want you to come. Come on. Come and pray with them. Come and talk to the Lord about them and with them. No doubt about it. You know, it's a great thing when people respond to the altar. If you're still standing, you can look this way. It's a great thing when people come to the altar. But I'm going to be honest with you. I love it when men come. I'm not belittling a lady coming because God bless them. We're studying the book of Ruth, so please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But it does something for my heart when I see a man come to the altar. You don't see that many, many times. And I'm going to tell you something. Why should we change what works? This book works, folks.
We preach it, we teach it, we live it, we obey it. There's water in that well. Stay with it. Stay with it. There are people praying. And I want to give them time. Amen. Let's just sing one more verse, Brother Gary. One more verse, please.
The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back.
That's what I'm preaching, no turning back. The only time you do turn back is just to visit your past. You turn back for that. But you don't turn back and stay there. You turn back and get encouraged and stay with it, and you go forward. And you realize that every now and then you're going to get knocked out. Wow, there it is, man, that hurt. But you get right up, pick up your shovel, and keep on digging.
I don't need to preach it again. I hope you've gotten it. What a valley, amen. The Valley of Gerar.
I'm going to go ahead and dismiss all of the teenagers and their parents. If you wouldn't mind, if you want to make your way downstairs to that snack for tonight. My wife and I will be down there in just a moment. Anytime there's food, we be there. Amen. Let me encourage you, church folks. I love you. Thank God for you. But I'm going to tell you something. God's working in my heart. There's a great work to be done. And He wants you to get involved in it. Do something for God this week. Brother Steve, sir, God bless you. Love you. No doubt about that. Always good to see you. Stay with it, brother. Keep digging. There's water in them wells, you know. Amen. I'm going to have Brother Charlie Moore, sir, if you wouldn't mind to dismiss us in prayer, sir, please. Thank you very much.